And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. That noise you heard was Primo cleaning off his microphone. We are not currently being trampled by elephants.
I'm trying to do this as quietly as I can.
We are brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the of great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of cool shows and events coming in this season, so check that out. Again, mscopus.org. It's Friday, Primo. People can text us. They can call. They can do that every day, but especially today. You can call us 693-1150-229-1939.
What you're saying is on Friday, you've exhausted everything of worth or value.
Pretty much, yeah. We want to know what y'all want to talk about, so 229-1939. Primo, normally we like to view this show as sort of a haven from hot takes. You know, we don't – usually if we're going to discuss an issue, we go in depth, we read articles, we do all kinds of stuff. But if there's one day a year for Hot Take Central, it's the Friday before kickoff. So takes are going to be flying hard and fast today. Later on, I will officially – unveil my season predictions so that they are on the record.
You haven't done that yet?
No. I've said my record for A&M, but I have not named a champion. I have not named Final Four. I have not named – I haven't officially settled on – well, I did have to settle on A&M for the paper, but I haven't talked about it on the show yet.
Right.
So we will – we'll do that later on the show. We'll have official standings. But first, Primo, I have – proof. I've been waiting for over a year to finally have proof, and I've got it today. I joined the Eagle in 2013, so the season was already underway, and the Prague panel.
December?
It was like the last week in November. My first week here, I covered A&M LSU that year.
Okay.
And it was too late in the year to get involved in the Prague. So last year was my first season doing our picks in the paper every Friday. And famously, my season did not go well. I was allegedly like next to last. I beat Cessna's dog and Larry Bowen. Those are two separate people, by the way. And just kidding. But I've been – so I didn't do real well. But I knew it wasn't my fault. It was shenanigans. I was being framed. My picks were being switched. I knew it had to be something. And I've got the proof I need today. If you go out and pick up today's Eagle, I am already sub-500 in the Prague. And this hasn't even been a week yet, Primo. Y'all are hosing me. And I finally got the proof I need. Week one, I'm already listed at 9-11, and the season hasn't even started. Shenanigans.
Yeah, that was a classic copy desk error. In fact, I know the exact person who made that error.
Sure, it was.
And not only that
error in air quotes.
That is proof that we live in the no remake world. Because 4 years ago, you wouldn't have seen that, assuming you'd have gotten in city. Newspaper, because you know old days we actually had technically two editions.
Yeah.
Now we sort of have one and a free flowing second that we try to not remake for things that don't matter, even though it makes us look stupid from time to time. It saves us money.
Yeah.
So that's one that makes us look stupid, but we all know that you're really 0-0. So.
Yeah. Well, now I'm telling you, I got the proof. I've already sub-500. You've already marked me down for 11 losses, and the season hasn't even started.
I think if it makes you feel any better, I think Rich is also.
Yeah,
9-11.
Kroom. But Kroom's too nice to call people out. All right, me and Kroom are getting hosed here on the Prague. I demand. demand justice be served. I've suspended you 4 games, and a judge already overturned it. So you're back, Primo.
I was going to say, can I sit out 4?
Anyway, so we got that going on today. We got Prague shenanigans already. By the way, my Prague, I'm all alone on a couple islands this week in Prague already.
So normally I would say that's not a bad deal, but I guess it depends on which ones.
Well, I'm
which games you're on the island.
I'm all alone on Northern Iowa beating Iowa State, I think.
That's not necessarily.
And I'm not completely
not
alone.
Bad.
One of the hairdressers, I think, is with me on Texas. Longhorn Island.
Oh, God, yeah. We're
on Longhorn Island.
You're going to struggle on that one.
Yeah, the thing is, I didn't like the pick, and I said this on the show yesterday, Notre Dame is better than Texas, but I've been spouting my mouth all summer that Texas is going to knock off one of the big 4 teams on their schedule, and I think Notre Dame's the most likely of Baylor,
right.
Baylor, TCU, and Oklahoma. So I had to, I felt obligated to put that one in the paper.
Well, and if Charlie Strong does have any success at Texas, when does it start?
Well, he's got to do something.
I mean, at some point. I mean, and I'm not saying he will. I mean, history would say, or his track record would say, that probably he's going to at some point be better. Certainly better than they were last year, but. Yeah, Notre Dame is, how good are they really?
Yeah, well, like I said, I feel obligated to put that one in there. So we'll see. I also don't like picking against teams I have to deal with. So I'm going to pick Brian every week. So that's going to be, they're favored this week against Conroe. And so I wasn't alone on that island, but I'm going to pick Brian every single time. So that could get me in trouble down the way. They play Temple, who is like number 2 in the state in a couple weeks.
I think you're going to go at least over 500, hopefully.
Yeah.
Doing that. I don't know though, because that district they're in.
It's a tough district.
It could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had a really good run last year, and it will be hard for them to duplicate that run this year, but you never know.
It's kind of like Larry. He always picks ties if it's local teams. So he has a tie in Snook Brazos Christian tonight.
Yeah, I'm not out in the community nearly as much, but even if I were, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to try to beat the dog and not take the automatic
loss. Especially a rookie dog. It's Mr. Tuggles' first year. So
your feelings don't bother me that much in the end. Just a football pick.
All right, hit us up, 229-1939. What is on your mind today? We already got one text, Primo, fired up. It says, just saw the Aggie buses get on the highway. Whoop. Someone is out there driving to the H. We probably have several listeners already on their way down to Houston. It's going to be quite the weekend down there in Houston, Primo. We obviously, A&M Arizona State is going on. I found out earlier there's a big sci-fi convention or comic book convention going on at the convention center down there. The Astros are at home this weekend, including Star Wars Day on Sunday when I will be there. Dallas Keuchel will be pitching that game, so I'm pretty fired up about that. Combination of Star Wars and Dallas Keuchel and the Astros, it's like my favorite. It's like it was meant for me. It's Aubrey Bloom Day at Minute Maid Park.
What are you going as, R2-D2 or?
No, I'm a little round for R2-D2. I don't think I could fit in the suit. I'm more Jabba the Hutt sized than R2-D2 size, but no, I haven't decided yet. I may just go as your standard red suit Jedi that could be killed at any moment. So maybe I'll do that. Actually, I'll just even dress in Star Trek stuff just to throw everybody off.
Oh, God, there'll be somebody who will beat you up.
Oh, there's no question somebody would. But,
it's funny.
Primo, last night, real-life football was played.
I heard about it.
Yeah, it was shaky at times. Opening night's always a weird night. And we talked about this on the show yesterday. Even though I really like TCU this year, and I did say yesterday that they're my preseason national champion because I was wearing a TCU shirt yesterday, so I had to explain that away. But even though I think they're one of the best teams in the country, opening night is always tough. You don't know what you've got. You're not sure what the other team's got. And they didn't, they let Minnesota hang around a little bit last night.
Right.
Like, they at no point did I feel like Minnesota might win that game, but they snuck around for quite a while. And then a really weird game was Central Michigan, Oklahoma State. I don't know what Oklahoma State was. One, I don't know what Oklahoma State was doing playing at Central Michigan just off the get go.
God, that is.
Yeah. And then that game was bizarre. Central Michigan, if their quarterback could have kept from throwing interceptions, might have had a real chance in that game. So that one was going on. South Carolina, North Carolina was an odd game. The game of the night, the one I thought was going to be the most competitive, was Utah, Michigan. And we were talking about this last night, me and some friends, Primo. And one thing that fascinates me with coaches is there are thousands of coaches. I mean, this is a profession. Every single team's got, you know, 8 to 10 coaches from the high school level all the way to bigger high schools. You've got junior colleges, Division III, Division II, all these teams out here in the football world. I mean, there's literally thousands, hundreds of thousands, I would imagine, coaches in the world. And yet, a select few of them are so much better than everybody else, it blows your mind. You know, because you wonder, with that many people, how are a few of them that much better? And Jim Harbaugh is one of these people. Michigan last night had no business in that game. I mean, they were outgunned every way imaginable by Utah. But he's such a good coach that they were able to keep it close for a while. I mean, they tried. And you got the sense that Michigan's, in one game, you get the sense Michigan's headed the right direction.
Well, if Harbaugh, you know, and I always feel like, you know, these coaches get, coaches who don't win titles, I never know whether or not to believe if they're as good as people say they are. And Harbaugh's one of those guys that, you know, everybody gives him a ton of credit for Stanford, but for making Stanford good. But I've seen Stanford be good under other coaches. Maybe not great, but it's like, because he didn't win a title, I always feel like, okay, well, he was good, but how good? And I, you know, I watch the NFL more than college. Certainly I know that San Francisco had not been very good before him, and he got them to the precipice of winning winning titles with a quarterback that, frankly, wasn't really that good. I think he dazzled us the year of the zone read in the NFL, that yeah. one year where
yeah,
people really were running it.
Yeah.
But I guess my point is, I don't consider him to be what I think his reputation is.
Oh, I do.
But, right, and so does everybody else, it seems like. Like, I'm the outlier who's still waiting to see more. I didn't see this game, so I don't know what they were up against, but he got a decent performance out of his quarterback. Not great. The interceptions probably are maybe the reason why they lost this
yeah,
game.
Yeah, absolutely why they lost, yeah.
But other than the interceptions, those aren't bad, and the fact that they were on the road, right? This was in
yeah.
Utah. The fact that they were able to go on the road and be competitive, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe, I mean, there's something that he's just able to do on game day that is a little bit better than
like I said, I don't know
what's going on.
I don't know what it is, but to me, he's one of those guys that is just a level. And I kind of think that Gary Patterson is one of those guys at TCU. You know, you wonder, this was a big conversation last night. You wonder how he would do at a school like Texas, you know, would he be able to recruit at a high level, you know, at that level? I'm not sure that's really his forte. But if you give him the same caliber players as the other team, he's going to win almost all the time.
Right.
Because a lot of times they don't have the same caliber players, and he wins anyway. And so he's one of those guys. And like I said, I think Harbaugh is one of them. You could just tell last night Michigan was extremely well coached, but just not very good. And that was the problem that they had last night in just his first game. But that was my big takeaway from opening night. Let us know what y'all thought. 229-1939. But yeah, that was it was interesting.
And Utah only committed 6 penalties, but to only commit 3 penalties. I mean, you know, I'm just looking at the box score, but I would take 3 penalties in the last game of the season.
Yeah.
Not just the first. So, yeah, that it'll be interesting to see, because if he is half as good as his reputation, they're going to do something in the Big Ten that's going to make things hard for an Ohio State or Michigan State or somebody else.
Michigan will have something to say about who wins the Big Ten. So we had that going on last night. I'll tell you what other game was sneaky for a while was UTSA Arizona.
I saw that story.
Yeah, UTSA was creeping for a little bit. We were talking about this. How good of a, you know, we're talking about cush jobs in the world. Larry Coker's job at UTSA is a good one. One, he was the coach like 3 years before they even fielded a team.
Right.
Presumably getting paid, I imagine. He wasn't volunteering for those years. And then now, the last couple years, everyone knows they were going to be pretty bad. Like, so when you start a program from scratch, Primo, when is the first point where you can fire the coach. I mean, you got to give him quite a while to get things up and running, right?
Yeah, he's definitely in a situation where he will have to create his own pressure.
Yeah.
He'll have to win some games and build that program up to the point where, just like you said, at what point do the fans, you know, where is the point where expectations exist, one, and then two, exist at a level where if you don't meet them, you know, they'll be grumbling amongst the alumni.
And there's no old money football alumni at UTSA going, we got to get back to the ship, boys, this thing won't work. You know, they don't have that. So they didn't have football before. So he can kind of make the program whatever he wants it to be. So, I mean, that's a good gig to get if you can get one of those.
Well, and it's like you said, he's been there for longer than they've actually been playing. Is this their second or third year? I forget how many years they've actually been playing. Because they were playing last year, right? I remember seeing their scores.
Yeah, Arizona and...
I'm talking about Texas San Antonio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How many years have they actually been?
Oh, I think this is their third year.
Yeah, I don't...
They played kind of like the college equivalent of an outlaw schedule their first year.
Right.
They played like they were in like the Sun Belt or something, and they played all these bizarro teams but now they're like legit. They're like they're bowl eligible now, but they weren't the first year. Like I said, they were like an outlaw team, like what College Station was when they only had freshmen and sophomores.
Right. Yeah, they started in 2011.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine him not. I mean, plus when you're there. I can't imagine he's looking to go. Maybe he is looking to go somewhere else. But
no way.
Who's gonna take him? You know, because it's like, yeah, you've been the coach of UTSA. Do we really want?
Now, if he wins like a national title with UTSA or something, then maybe. But yeah, I mean, and how would you even fire him? What would the AD even do? Like, you're not living up to expectations.
No.
What expectations?
Right.
This is UTSA. Anyway, yeah, like someone else said, this is their fifth year. So someone texted. All right, let's go to break. When we come back. Enough about last night, Primo. Let's talk about tomorrow. What are we expecting out of A&M and Arizona State? Text us 229-1939. We'll be back. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
It's time for Tailgater Truths, presented by Dish. Truth number 29. Game day without HD is like a tailgate without bacon-wrapped bacon with a side of bacon. With the Tailgater from Dish, you get mobile satellite TV and quarterback sacking HD. It sets up in 15 quick minutes or less and automatically connects to a satellite signal. So the only games you're playing are the ones you want to. Plus, there's no long-term contracts. You can pay as you go. Or add the Tailgater to your Dish Home account for only $7 a month. So fire up the grill and the TV and start making tail greatness this season. Just be sure to use a napkin before touching that remote, Mr. Bacon Fingers. To learn more, visit dish.com/tailgate. Restrictions include prepayment of all monthly and one-time fees.
Aggie fans, the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show is at Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road for the 2015 football season. Show features the coach, questions from the floor as he joins the fans to talk some Aggie football. It's 7 o'clock, Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road each Tuesday night. Of course, you'll hear it all here on the Aggie Radio Network. But we'll see you at Rudy's each Tuesday at 7. It's the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show. Come and join us for 1 hour of all things Texas A&M football.
Hi, Gabe Bach here from TexAgs Radio, and if you're not currently a premium or varsity level subscriber to TexAgs.com, what are you waiting for? TexAgs.com is the inside source for all things Aggie sports, the leaders in breaking news coverage, in-depth analysis, recruiting scoop, and more. Whether it's exclusive long-form interviews with Aggie players and coaches or inside on the next big recruit on his way to Aggieland, nobody covers A&M like TexAgs. Jump on board now, and don't miss out on the very best in A&M sports coverage. It's TexAgs.com.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, Think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Hargrove Insurance, Terry Ruffino, Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, and Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. St. Joseph Eagle football fans, here's a reminder for you to listen to St. Joseph Eagles football throughout the season on 88.5 FM. St. Joseph Eagle football is brought to you this season by these fine local businesses.
ServPro of the Brazos Valley, Strata Auto Repair, Kelly Bird Dozer, and InTech Pest Management.
Listen to St. Joseph Eagles football on 88.5 FM. Special thanks to all of our St. Joseph Eagle football sponsors.
Listen to The Zone, 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieland.com.
I understand why lizards live in sunny Arizona. Why people do and call it home, I never understand. Some plant birds fan.
Welcome back, Aggie Nation, powered by The Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Primo. That song, of course, about Arizona. We're not going to Arizona, but, you know, they're coming to Houston. I'm a little sad we don't get a return trip out of this thing. It's part of the fun of the home and home is you get to see new places, but we don't get to go see Arizona.
Well, and I like to see, I like to see what a team looks like, you know, 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, we get to see that now with the SEC West teams. You get to see some of the highs and lows of some of these programs, or we will over time. But that is always one of the cool things about playing, especially a good non-conference opponent. How good are they this year, and then what do they look like next year? I like
well,
that
part. Well, and selfishly, I like to go see the new I like to see stadiums I haven't been to. And this is the first game ever between A&M and Arizona State, the historic A&M-Arizona State rivalry.
Almost seems unlikely, but I mean, it. You know, there's a lot of schools in the country, so it's not really that unusual.
You know what's real odd? And it was in the game notes and from Arizona State, and you don't think about it, because, but there's so few non-conference games, and then the Pac-12 and SEC don't have any bowl tie-ins against each other. How few some of these teams have played each other. Arizona State has never beaten an SEC team. Ever.
Which
in its whole history. Which sounds crazy, but then you realize it's only four games.
Well, I was going to say, I thought it was six.
Is it six games?
I thought it was six, but it's not many games.
Yeah.
I think I've got it here. I'll look because I'm kind of curious. But, I did see that.
It's weird.
That, yeah, like, it is
their
a little weird.
Long history of football, Arizona State's only played like six SEC games. Now, technically, they do have a win against an SEC team, but
against Arkansas?
Well, they beat Missouri.
Oh, okay.
But Missouri wasn't in the SEC yet when they did it. So that doesn't count. That's a Big 12 win, I guess.
They're a big
or might have been Big 8. I don't even remember when all they played. I know they played a couple times the last few years, but I don't know how far back that goes. But, yeah, so that in and of itself makes tomorrow's game a little bit interesting. The thing I put on the segment is, what are we expecting tomorrow, Fremo? And the reason I wrote it like that is because I've been honest with the fans all summer, and it's not going to change today with one day to go. I have no idea what to expect out of A&M this season. A&M could come out and smoke Arizona State tomorrow or lose the game by 10, 15 points, and nothing in that area would really surprise me all that often.
I was going to say
that much.
I think a blowout either way might surprise me. You know, the Kevin Sumlin offense is built in such a way that if they have a Kevin Sumlin offense has a perfect day, you know, I guess you could say they can blow out anybody at any time. That seems possible. At the same time, even as that offense would be operating at the highest possible level, You still don't know what that defense will be doing. And in this case, they're playing an Arizona State team that is not going to be afraid of anything they see tomorrow. Based on what I can read and what little research I've done or been forced to do for the paper, I can't see Arizona State getting run out of NRG Stadium. But I don't think I can see, even if the A&M's defense isn't that good, or isn't improved, and you know that may be an evolution throughout the season. We may see them get better by quite a bit. Excuse me. I don't know. I don't see a blowout either way. Now, when a blowout in college, though, is what? I mean, you almost have to get to three plus touchdowns or more. So I don't know that necessarily the score will be close. It could be a 21-point game, but. We can worry about defining blowouts later, but I don't see how you could look at this game not really knowing, because Arizona State is neither of these quarterbacks have a ton of experience. They have some experience, and they have had some success. In fact, the Arizona State quarterback, and I'm going to mispronounce his name,
like Bergovici.
Yeah, Mike Bergovici. Sure, we'll say that. he actually, I think, set the FBS record for two game total yards.
Oh wow!
Where his first two starts, he almost busted 1,000. It's 900 and something. So, okay, that's great, but he's only got, I think, 4 or 5 starts under his belt.
Yeah,
so he's not really, even though he's a senior, he's not much more experienced than Kyle Allen. I don't know. I mean, I expect points, and I expect there'll be, I don't know, I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be a close game until, you know, somewhere in the fourth quarter where maybe one team does get an upper hand or takes advantage of a fourth quarter mistake or turnover, but I don't honestly see how you could really lay a line on this game.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. The only thing I can't envision at all is Arizona State blowing out A&M. I think A&M has too many talented guys on offense to not score. So I could see them winning by 10-15, but I don't think they're going to put A&M out of the game like you know we saw times with A&M.
It's not going to be in Alabama last year.
I can't envision I can't that. Now I can envision A&M by blowout for A&M. I can envision a scenario where it's like a shootout early in the game and then one or two turnovers. I said this earlier in the week. I could see it being a lot like last year's South Carolina game where like it's a blowout. But they're close enough that you can't pull the starters. Like, you kind of trade touchdowns what one team's up 20, you know? So, like, they score to go up 20, you score to go to bring it back to 13, then they score to take it back to 20. So it's, like, close-ish, but it's not really. I can kind of see that happening for A&M. Now, I would be surprised if A&M beats them by more than, you know, 3 touchdowns, or if Arizona State does that. That'll be surprising either way. The only thing I think I know is that there's going to be points in this game. Both teams just have too many talented guys, and I want to see the A&M defense. I think they're going to be all right, but I don't think they're going to be world beaters or anything. I mean, if they hold Arizona to under, I mean, what's the number here that A&M's got to get to? If they hold Arizona under that number, they probably win 28.
I would think so. I was thinking, I was thinking it'll take 30 points to win the game.
There's.
Like we're saying, there's no way to figure. You know, I think both of these teams have the potential to be to finish the year. I mean, you could look at the rankings right now if you want to. They don't really mean. I mean, like we learned last year, they don't mean a whole lot.
Yeah.
But I do think both of these teams do have plenty of potential to finish in the top 25, maybe in the top 15 if they got really hot, even a top 10 finish. But will they be top 25 teams tomorrow? Ask me in the third quarter. I mean, that's what we're saying, because you just don't know. One of the things that you can't account for are mistakes that'll happen early in a season that just won't happen late.
Yeah.
And it's things like special teams breakdowns and stuff like that, and that could skew the game, you know, one way or the other. The other thing is, if A&M really is trying to get more physical, one, how physical are they tomorrow? And two, what do they do with that? Because if you're running the same fast tempo, run to the line offense, are you then also going to try to assert your physical dominance by running the ball? We assume that to really be a physical team, you have to dominate the line of scrimmage, and you And you do that, one of the best ways to do it and let your opponent see that you're doing it is run the ball. Is A&M going to do that? And how much is Arizona State going to try to take the air out of the ball to keep A&M's offense on the sideline? I don't know. Like I said, let's see us in the third quarter, yeah, and we'll have better answers.
Yeah, it's a weird game. I mean, and that's kind of the upside and the downside of a big opener. One of the texters has a good point. He says, I expect a lot of PI penalties on the Aggie defense. He said, Aggies still win by 8. Penalties are a big thing in the first week. Like you mentioned earlier with the Michigan-Utah game, they can have a big impact on the game, and
huge.
You know, and it's not always the big penalty. It's a sneaky penalty. A 3rd-and-1 becomes a 3rd-and-6, and then now you've got a punt instead of running for the first down. That's the kind of thing that can change a game in week one, and those are the kind of things you just don't know. I mean, A&M has been pretty heavily penalized. They were last year, I think, and could be a big factor, especially as the texter said, and you mentioned, with a new defense trying to get more physical, playing man-to-man press coverage. Against another team, you haven't. There's one thing to go up against your guys in practice, but actual real life action, I wouldn't be surprised if they get a few pass interference calls trying to play a little more physical on defense. I think that was a good point.
Well, and think about it from the player's perspective. Playing under John Chavis for the first time, here a coach has been telling you to play a certain way for, you know, what it's been now 4, 5, almost 6 months. I can't count them, but you know what I'm saying. Well, you want to go out there and show coach that, you know, you're trying to be physical, and by doing that, depending on how the referees are calling the game, yeah, it could take an adjustment period. And think about it, you see this probably at every level of football. What is pass interference during practice, and what is it on game day? Because in practice, even if you bring in the referees, those penalties don't don't mean what they mean on Saturday.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like you said, you could look at it from the perspective of you turn a 3rd-and-6 into 1st-and-10 because you were all over a receiver that, you know, that maybe you didn't even have to, you know, maybe the ball sails over his head, but that you draw the pass interference penalty if you're the defender, and now all of a sudden they're 1st-and-10 and they're still going. I don't know, and that'll be interesting to watch. Not only do the Aggies assert themselves physically, draw penalties by doing that, if they do draw penalties, is Chavis and the coaches able to get them reined back in, and then how do they perform when they're trying to be reined in?
I mean, and normally the road team has officials in non-conference games. I mean, last night we saw Big Ten officials in Utah, and I think the Big 12 officials were in Central Michigan because Oklahoma State was on the road, which I assume would mean that this game is going to have Pac-12 officials. But since it's a neutral site game, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I tried to look that up in the game notes, but it wasn't listed in there that I could find. So that's another thing, two different styles of play. I mean, SEC officials will let a little bit go on the perimeter. I've said for years that for whatever reason, LSU and Alabama seem like they can't get a pass interference call against them no matter what they do. But in the Big 12, they call it real tight. So, I mean, it depends on the officiating could play a factor as well, not just in what you're doing, but how they call the game. But I do think that this game is going to turn on I get a feeling that it's not going to be a close game at the end. Like, I feel like we're going to have a fourth quarter where maybe it starts the fourth quarter close, but one team or the other gets a fumble, one team or another, makes a key interception, a pick six or something, and I think ends up winning by about 10 points or so. I think they could win by two possessions there at the end. Someone texted the game has Big 12 officials.
Now, insert your Big 12 officials.
Yeah, right, which saying and fans are going to be, this is a conspiracy already. But anyway, so it's a few things we're expecting tomorrow. We got to go to break. We'll come back, hit a few of your texts, other things maybe we're expecting. And it's 2:38 p.m., and Tim Tebow is still on the Eagles, Primo. He's got 24 hours to go. Can he make it? We'll come back. Maybe we'll talk about that. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. An eight-month undercover investigation by Bryan Police led to a day-long search of a home yesterday. Seven people were arrested on drug-related charges, and officers seized more than $3,000 of drugs, more than $1,400 in cash, a car, and four firearms. Police say the investigation followed neighborhood complaints about drug activity at the home on Hall Street, which is between Highway 21 and Neal Elementary School. Names of those arrested and the charges are on our website at WTAW.com. Health for All, a nonprofit clinic, relies on donations to provide free health care to its patients in the Brazos Valley. A big donation was announced yesterday. Executive Director Liz Dickey says more than half of their patients suffer from diabetes.
And as a best practice, there are tests that we need to have done at least annually, if not twice a year, to ensure that their disease is not breaking down their body and their internal organs are still functioning properly.
Dickey says Thursday they received a check for more than $5,000 from College Station Mayor Nancy Berry and her husband Lynn, a distinguished professor at Texas A&M. Health for All provided care for more than 1,200 patients last year, and with this gift, they're hoping to provide more than 4,000 patient visits this year. The Arts Council of the Brazos Valley continues plans to be in a new location. CEO Chris Dyer says they're looking at the summer of 2017. Dyer says the goal is to be located on University, which he considers to be entrance to Bryan College Station and the Brazos Valley. The new home will include an expanded gallery, a visitor center, and offices. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
It's a great time for sizzling hot deals at Normandy Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. And right now, get the best deal of the summer with the Kubota L2501F 25 horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot land pride shredder, complete with an $800 finance rebate and a $500 cash rebate. Only $11,695. Or 10% down in payments of only $156 per month. Normandy asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Need to finance? Normandy makes it easy with zero down payment and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. And remember, most any trade can be your down payment. Normandy Tractor, voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials at normandytractor.com, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor.
For your car, your home, your business too, Acme Glass takes care of you. For over 60 years, we're the clear leader. Our quality and value keep shining through. For repair and replacement on all kinds of glass, you can trust Acme.
Welcome to the season that dreams are made of. The stars have aligned for a positively enchanting new Opus season. The main stage lineup features Beauty and the Beast, sponsored by Aggieland Credit Union, Million Dollar Quartet, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Disney in Concert, magical music from the movies, and an opening night concert starring Voice Play, sponsored by Allstate. Season and single tickets on sale now at mscopus.org.
Start the college football weekend each Wednesday at noon with Mitch Light of Athlon Sports on the Louis Belina Show, powered by teamofnavasota.com.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Primo. You can text us, 229-1939. Some of y'all tweeted and texted. Apparently, I assume y'all are right. Several people have said the game has Big 12 officials. I don't know how people found that out.
Sounds great to me.
Yeah, I'm sure they're right, but it's not. Like I said, I couldn't find it when I was trying to search for it earlier.
Thank God.
But, that's fine. By the way, I'm a little... Everyone, I've been telling the people, and if you listen to the station at night, you'll find out. But I'm on the Bryan games this year, so my high school football world revolves around Bryan. But I got to keep a little bit of an ear to the internet tonight, Primo, because my high school team is playing my girlfriend's high school team. A huge, all kinds of things on the line here in this game.
Talking about Kerrville Tyvee?
Tyvee is playing Cal Allen tonight down in Corpus, or in Cal Allen, whatever they want to say. But yeah, it's a big game, Primo. So I'm a little distracted today. I was.
You know what the Harris ratings are on that game? Have you bought
Tyvee
it?
Is favored.
Are they?
Tyvee's ranked in the Harris poll.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, technically everybody's ranked in the Harris poll.
They're in the top 10.
Oh, I see what
yeah,
you're
Yeah, they're in the little Harris top 10
I got
thing.
You.
Yeah,
right.
And they're just outside. They were the number one team receiving votes in the AP last week in the high school
oh,
ranks.
Wow.
So,
are they
Harris
right now?
Five. They're the same as Bryan and
gotcha.
Our teams here. They have them as, I think, 14 point. Harris plus them at 14 over Cal Allen. So, it's a big game tonight. So, I'm a little bit distracted by that. This morning, I got out some old T-shirts, laid them around the house just to annoy her a little bit. I put one of her dogs in a Tyvee shirt. So, it's all going on today. Tyvee fight never dies. Big tonight, Primo. But
well, don't get so distracted. I need my Vikings to win.
Well, I know. So I gotta step my game up for Bryan. I didn't do a good job in opening week. Look, it was my first game. You know, penalties, false starts. It wasn't great. I gotta get in shape tonight. I gotta shape up and get things sorted out.
Yeah.
So don't worry. I'll be on my game tonight for Bryan. Home opener. You know, I always feel good about coming back home for the first time.
These are some good cliches.
I've never announced a game. I've never announced a game at Merrill Green Stadium, so it's not really a home game because it'll be the first time I've done that too. So, but anyway, we'll find out. We'll talk more about the high school's report later on. Like I said, I'm just a little bit distracted. Tyvee Cal Allen going on. We were talking about what we expect to see tomorrow. We talked a little about officials and how they could play a big part in this game. The thing that I want to see early in this game, and this is going to be. You know, you're not going to change your whole season predictions based on one game. I mean, A&M is not going to either win the national title or lose out, depending on what happens tomorrow night. But it is a little bit.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but the one thing I do want to see early in the game is can A&M be explosive? I mean, that was the thing that was missing last year when they got in the losing streak, and even the games after that you know they were no longer in crisis mode. But the LSU game, the Missouri game, I mean, shoot, even the Louisiana Monroe game, they just didn't look explosive. I mean, it was like they scored and they moved the ball a little bit, but they didn't have that same flair that this offense is known for. So that's what I want to see early in this game. Can they be explosive? Does the offense look like they look like they're having fun? I mean, at times last year, it looked like they hated playing the football. And that's one thing I'm looking for early in this game. As Canadian, it doesn't have to be a touchdown. A 30-yard gain, a 40-yard play, either out of the run game or the pass game. That's what I want to see early on in this one, Primo.
I think after last year, I don't even want to see this game. I want to see the Arkansas game, and I want to just fast forward to November. Because, no matter what they do in this game, good or bad, I'm going to look to last year as, and I mean, yeah. I know Sumlin pointed this out, and rightly so, and I saw it as a Cowboys fan last year, that maybe never before, and there are a lot of Aggie/Cowboy fans out there who watched both of those season openers, and they couldn't be more diametrically opposed in terms of what you felt coming out of those games. The Aggies go to Columbia, South Carolina, and leave just soaring sky high. And you figure, I mean, a top 10 finish is just it's just a matter of course. The Cowboys almost don't even get to play a home game in their home stadium and look like absolute dogs for two quarters, maybe almost three quarters. And you feel like they'll be lucky to win a single game. I mean, nothing. No two season openers could have left you with different feelings. And by the end of the season, everything had reversed for both of those teams
to some degree.
And A&M didn't have a terrible season. And I think winning that bowl game probably meant more than maybe we know for somebody like Cal Allen, Trey Carson. But I don't know. It's hard for me to look at this game with that critical an eye after last season, I guess the one thing I would want to see is some overall defensive improvement. Because like you pointed out, even in that glorious win against South Carolina last year, the defense wasn't exactly a lockdown.
No, they gave up big play after big play.
Right, shut down. You know, we've got this game in hand kind of defense. It was more like just a shootout that you had been spotted 21 points. I mean, the 52-28 final score really doesn't – I mean, those 28 points maybe even could have been more, because if I remember right, South Carolina missed a couple of big plays, maybe big passes, and I may be misremembering.
Yeah. No, they did.
I thought they did. So that 52-28 could have easily been 52-40-something. and you win, and you score a lot of points, but how good do you really feel? And – I don't know. I mean, I won't fall, and I fell into the trap. I thought, you know, South Carolina was ranked number 9 at the time. I thought they were really that good. We found out later that they're not. And we'll find out later how good Arizona State is. We're not going to find out Saturday. And we're not going to find out how good A&M is Saturday. We're just going to find out where they are right now. And where they are right now is not really that important to me in terms of where I want them to be September 26th when they play Arkansas. Because if they're not ready to play Arkansas, that could start a bad trend in this SEC West that we're not sure.
Yeah, about. And then they go into their bye week after that, and then they have Bama at home. I mean, that's going to be an interesting few weeks there, almost no matter what happens. But
with the new quarterback, you're right in terms of you want it would be really good for Kyle Allen and that offense to have some big plays because.
Yeah, well, and that's
because you can build. Well, what A&M did at South Carolina last year, they could have built on that the whole year. They didn't.
Yeah,
doesn't mean that you can't do that. And they could go in, blow out Arizona State, and build on that this year. What happened last year doesn't have to happen again.
Well, and that was the thing to me of last year is it wasn't so much that it was South Carolina, and I know South Carolina ended up not being very good, but it was just the way A&M looked that night. I mean, they looked confident. They looked excited. I mean, they looked, like I said, explosive. I mean, they had confidence in what they were doing, and then it seemed like as the season went on, they just lost all of it, and with good reason. I mean, they got absolutely blasted a few times in the middle of the year. So I think it'll be interesting to see, can they get that back? I mean, do they come out and have that, and I hate the word swagger, but whatever you want to call that here's what we're going to do, and we know y'all can't stop us kind of thing that they had under Manziel, even when it wasn't going well. That's the key. There was games that the offense didn't look good when Manziel was there, but they always believed it was about to work. I didn't get that sense towards the end of last year.
Well, and that's what Sumlin has talked about, and that again leads to we're not going to see it tomorrow. It's only gonna show up in October or November, and that is, what if A&M does lose, or what if they do suffer through a poor performance? Are they able to not let that feeling linger and then come out the next week, you know, where you do have that feeling when you look at them that they have confidence and they feel like they know what they're doing? And you mentioned the word fun. I'm telling you, there is nothing more important in sports, it seems like. The more I watch and the more I... And I mean, across all sports, if you're not having fun, you're not performing.
You're not winning.
And it's, I would say, especially in college, where your emotions can probably
rise and fall.
They'll rise and fall a little bit faster and quicker than they will as you get older.
We got to go to a break. When we come back, well, I'll tell you what, let's do this before we go to break. We have a couple tickets to give away for John Wolf with Justin Van Sant. Sant tonight at Hurricane Harry's. It's 9 o'clock. Give us a call, 693-1150. Whoever the first one to call is that wants to go, we'll hook you up with those tickets if you want to go tonight. Again, that's John Wolf with special guest Justin Van Sant tonight at Hurricane Harry's. Give us a call, 693-1150 if you want to go to that. We'll get you fixed up. We got to go to break. When we come back, a little bit of Today in Aggie History. It's Aggie Nation Powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
The Zone headquarters in Houston for the Aggies and the Sun Devils will be at the Holiday Inn NRG Medical Center. Starting at 3 o'clock, Dusty and I'll get you ready for the new season with the Coors Light pregame show. Then, after the game, starting 30 minutes after the game, the party known as the post-game call-in show, both live from the lobby of the Holiday Inn NRG. If you're looking for a place to stay the night before Or, after the game, the Holiday Inn NRG is attached to the parking lot of the stadium. They've also just underwent a $12 million renovation. They've got a full-service bar, full-service restaurant. And if you're looking for a place to park for the game, they have a $30 parking special, which includes two drinks that you can enjoy while listening to the pregame show, or take them to go as you walk to the stadium for kickoff 2015 versus Arizona State. The Zone headquarters, and it can be yours too, is the Holiday Inn NRG Medical Center.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
When we started Intercon in early 1991, we were well aware that we would be competing with some companies that use unscrupulous techniques to make a quick sale, such as bait and switch, or 40% off if you commit today, or misleading, incomplete quotes. Intercon's practice is to be completely honest and encourage prospective customers to talk to our former customers. We've encouraged customers to get multiple quotes. We are confident and proud of our value proposition for windows, glass, and solar screens. We never want anyone to rush into a decision they will regret in the future. Just remember, warranties are only as good as the people who provide them and are servicing the area when situations arise. This is our home and only marketplace, and we will protect our home turf. You've probably heard the saying, the buck stops here, and that is with me, Brad Beard, president and co-owner of Intercon LLC.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
Can you see clearly while driving? If your vision is hindered by chips and cracks in your windshield, come see Acme Glass today at either one of our two locations. Or if time won't allow, Acme Glass can come to you with their mobile on-site installation. Acme Glass also offers state inspections and free chip repair and lifetime warranty on your windshield purchased from Acme. With over 60 years of service in the Brazos Valley, that's Acme Glass.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Schulte Roofing, Prosperity Bank, and Subway.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Play the Tap Pick'em Contest. Get your game preview. Ask your recruiting questions. Join Billy and Bryce at the Tap. The Tap for the Bellucci Hour Lunch every Monday and Thursday at noon. And heard right here on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Robert Bloom, Robert Primo. Someone said, come on, Mr. Primo, keep the faith. I'm not sure what faith you were losing. I don't know if it was Cowboys faith or if it was A&M faith or if it was Brian faith. I don't know whose faith, but you were losing it. Now you need to get it back.
I'll work on it.
Yeah. You got to improve. It's week one.
Inspire me with some Today in Aggie history.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's hit them. Today in Aggie history.
And now, Today in Aggie history.
Primo, today, one of today's day in Aggie history is maybe the most written about day in Aggie history of all time, and no one likes writing about it. It is September 4th, 1990. Texas A&M makes its initial trademark registration for the phrase 12th man, Primo.
90, huh?
Yeah. That was the initial.
I would have got that wrong.
Yeah. Well, we get to write about it all the time. But every time a new NFL team tries to take it, or someone prints it on coffee mugs or names a beer after it or puts it on a t-shirt, well, you get to write about it.
Hey, right or wrong. Hey. If you're first, you're first.
Hey. If you made it. Let's see. September 4, 2003, Texas A&M opened the Cutter Branch Campus. How about that? That's kind of a cool one.
That's pretty impressive, really.
Yeah.
I don't know how much we think about it, because how many of us have been there?
I haven't been there.
But that's a long,
I would like to go.
That's a long way away.
I will say, I did apply for a job there when I was graduating.
You?
Yeah, because I worked at the Visitor Center on A&M's campus, mm-hmm. and they were opening like a kind of a communications type job there, and I applied for it. I thought it'd be kind of fun to go over there for a little while. It's not like live there forever, but for a little bit.
It's adventurous just to apply for that.
Yeah, I'd had to get paperwork and stuff like that that I didn't have yet.
That's a lot of work.
But yeah, so there you go. A couple of Todays in Ag History. The Today in Ag History always on myaggination.com. You can check that out. Lots of cool stuff there this week, including a thing we're going to talk about when we come back from the break, Primo. Yesterday we had Kroom figure out what Aggie football player he was on the quiz. You can go on there and take the quiz and see what Aggie football player are you. Again, that's at myaggination.com. But I dove into the Eagle archives a little bit this week because I was curious. I wanted to know when was the last time A&M played a regular season non-conference game in Houston. It's been a bit.
Oh, my God.
It has been a while. And we are going to...
I've got a guess, but I'll hold on.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the second hour. I found some cool stuff that went along with it. We'll make our official picks for 2015. Well, I am. I'm not going to hold you to that if you don't want to, Primo. But official 2015 picks. We'll have space news. We'll talk a little...